Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240 live from the new studios in Merrick, New York. I think they'll have that tagline fixed before next week's episode. Not your fault, Bri. We know. We're going through the growing pains here. Gary Hart and John Panarees with you for hour two of Sports Talk 1240. So we are waiting for our guest, Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers, to join us and talk about things. So, let's... Again, we'll go back to the Mets situation. Obviously, Yoenis Cespedes has had a home run in his first game as a Met this season, in preseason, obviously. You know, it's very weird. It's going to be weird knowing that the first games of the season are happening in March this year.
Yeah, it's...
They're pushing it early. They push preseason early. I really think... I honestly believe that they want to give more time during the season. They're going to give more days off, I believe. So I think the season's not going to end till the same time. I think they're starting it early to give more breaks in between. Like, it's going to help injury situations.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but
they're playing games in November anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's 162 games regardless, so I guess it'll help here and there.
You know, as long as they don't have a World Series game on November 4th in Minnesota when it's like 15
right.
degrees.
Yeah.
Should ask Mark Parrish about that, too.
Yeah.
maybe he'll be at Target Arena for the game.
Could be. We could have him be on remote for us.
Absolutely. I will say, again, thanks to Mark for coming on. I really will say, and I'll put it out there, I really wish that he would maybe think about moving from Minnesota to come down and do some work for us more.
Yeah.
He was great. I mean,
he was awesome with the games that I caught that he was.
Yeah. Doing. Very insightful, very honest, as you could tell by what he was saying in, you know, in his conversations with us and on the air, and really gave a different perspective that you usually get from a former player. And, people from Minnesota like to talk, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, so he fits perfectly. He fits perfectly. Yeah, and he and Shannon, I think, had a very good chemistry. I Aaron Asham is a nice guy. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't think he fit the role as well. You know, I think he needs a little work. But he did bring some good insight, and I like some of the things he was saying. But Mark did. If Aaron Asham had hit a single, then Mark Parrish hit it out of the park.
Right.
So we got our guest on the line, a frequent contributor to Sports Talk 1240. His first time calling the new studios in Merrick, New York. It's Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers. And good evening, sir, and thank you for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
So we just talked with Mark Parrish, and we got a little bit of his intake as to a hockey player on the precipice of trade deadline day, and he offered a pretty good interest in perspective of it. From what you've seen and from conversations that you've had in your long history, what do you think the mood is in a hockey locker room, especially since we deal with the Islanders a lot? What do you think the mood is in the locker room now with about maybe 18 hours left before their potential move or not move?
Well, there's certainly a certain amount of tension in there because, you know, the one thing that people forget is that these guys are people. A lot of them have families, wives, children in school. You have to remember, these are just like anybody else. If all of a sudden on Monday you woke up and you were working in New York, and then in Tuesday you were working in Dallas or Edmonton or Los Angeles, and you didn't necessarily have a lot of say as to when that happened or where you went, you know, that's a whole upheaval in your life. So there's a certain amount of tension and a certain amount of nervousness that goes into trade deadline day. And, you know, that varies a little bit. Younger players, veteran players who have been traded before, who have seen it all before. But there is a certain amount of tension in most NHL locker rooms right now.
Well, you know something, actually, John, you know, that kind of feels like us today when we went to the studio. Yeah. We didn't know what we were expecting.
Yeah, exactly.
What was going on. So I guess you got a good point there, but obviously, you know, the rumors are abound and going crazy. You know, I just saw some things that a former NHL player posted that just blowing my mind.
Yeah,
I really
don't believe.
I can't believe. You know, I mean, we might as well say it. I mean, you know, obviously there was a big rumor, and it's saying, you know, a big potential deal between the Islanders and Blues is happening, and they both involve a certain number that's greater than 90.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know.
I mean, Garstow said definitively he's not trading John Tavares. I mean, and I have to believe.
You know, I mean, you know, again, you've been in the locker rooms with me. You know, we've talked to Garth in the past. We've talked to stuff. I mean, what do you think? And maybe you can tell, you know, because it seems to me that a lot of people, a lot of fans that talk on these Facebook boards really think that a general manager, any general manager, but of course they're picking on a certain person that lives in this area that we call home, is basically sitting around doing nothing. That's just sitting there waiting for the telephone to ring. I mean, you know, and I know it's different, but I mean, from your experiences and what you've heard, what do you think a general manager does at a time like this?
A lot of things. I think there's a lot of phone calls being made, a lot of contact with different scouts. There are charts. I mean, you've been in Garth Snow's office. You know the chart they have of their organization and every other organization, and people are looking at different angles. There's talk with agents of different players as well. There is the next 18 hours, as you said, roughly, there's going to be a heck of a lot of activity going.
Brad, are you there? We do have phone problems. Brad, are you there?
And the situation, yes, I'm here.
Sorry.
And the situation is going to change. I mean, certain players may say, get me out of here at the last minute, and then you have to try to make a deal. And if one team that you're fighting with for a playoff spot makes a big deal, there's more pressure on you to try to match that deal. And you got to keep your hand. You go in with a plan. There's going to be a lot of activity going on in Garth Snow's office and in the office of all the general managers across the National Hockey League over the next 18 hours. It's going to be busy time.
Just looking at the last couple of deals, obviously, that came on the pike. You know, the Rangers dumped out Michael Grabner to New Jersey. They dumped Rick Nash in a big deal with Boston. We were talking on the right. I mean, both John and I are under the opinion that the Rangers really got a lot out of that deal than I really thought they did.
Fleeced, I think.
What do you think?
I mean, for a rental especially, because, yeah, I think that was a great deal for the New York Rangers. You know, the Boston Bruins showed that they're all in. They made a couple of other moves as well. And I think that it was a good deal for both teams. Boston, in the short term, wants to make that run for the Stanley Cup. They've been, you know, hot the last few months and had that nice winning streak and got themselves near the top of the standings. So they're all in. The Rangers, as we all know, announced that they were going to be trading away a lot of pieces and rebuilding. I don't think they're done, if they can help it, by any stretch of the imagination. And getting the number one pick and some players and some prospects in exchange for Nash, who wasn't going to stay anyway, I think the Rangers did very well for themselves.
Yeah, and actually Spooner just assisted on the Rangers' goal they just got, so it's 2-1 in the second period. So, obviously, a couple of other deals going up. Thomas Plekanec moving from one big Canadian market to another Canadian market. And it's funny that deal happened right before Plekanec hit his 1,000th game. I mean, that's got to be a slap in the face, if you will. And looking at that organization, I mean, obviously, Marc Bergevin, you got to figure his days are numbered in Montreal.
I would tend to think so. It's a very difficult situation right now in Montreal. There's a city and an organization that does not tolerate losing for any length of time. Rebuilding is a dirty word up in the province of Quebec when
Sucre
it comes
bleu.
To hockey. So, you know, let's not even joke about that. At the end of the day, you know, you don't make the playoffs and you're not going to be there very long.
Right.
What looking at the rumors and stuff that's going on right now, what other big names do you think by 3 p.m. tomorrow are going to have different uniforms on the next time they come out to play?
Oh, boy. You know, I think McDonough may be gone from the Rangers if they can get the right price for him. Even Zuccarello might be gone from the Rangers if they could get the right price for him. Islander-wise, it wouldn't shock me if Brock Nelson was elsewhere, if he'd be part of some kind of a deal that they would make at some point. I mean, I like the deal that they made, but they still need to upgrade that defense and or goaltending if they really want to have the hopes of making the playoffs this year. So there's a lot more that's going to happen. I get the feeling this will be one of the more active trade deadline dates that we've had in the last few years.
Yeah, I know last year I was like so excited and I had the TSN feed on my computer all day and was like, you know, was more paper drying was more fun than what was going on. So looking at the Islanders over the last couple of games, I asked Mark about this when he was on earlier. Looking at specifically JT, obviously he's got to have it rough right now. To me, it looks like, you know, you hear what he said all along. I don't want to deal with the contract. I don't want to talk about it during the year. I want to let my play do its thing, and we'll talk at the end of the year. But you got to look at the last three games that he's played, and it looks like he is trying to do 10,000 things when he really only needs to do one. You got to think that's tough for a kid like him to have all this stuff going on, you know, when he's trying to be the man and do everything and wanting to possibly, hopefully, to stay here.
No question. But you know what? There's one thing about John Tavares. He's used to this kind of attention, and he's used to this kind of pressure. Nobody puts more pressure on John Tavares than he puts on himself. And I think he'll be able to handle this. The Canadian media in particular has just been all over this story for, what, the last 2 years at least?
Yeah, at
looking
least.
Forward to this summer and saying, hey, he potentially becomes a free agent. And what are the Islanders going to do? I think the Canadian media is trying to create this story and play this story up because it would get so much attention back home. But, look, at the end of the day, John Tavares is going to probably pull a Steven Stamkos. It'll go down to the wire. I think, you know, the day before free agency starts, he'll make up his mind and he'll either sign on the dotted line or explore what else is out there. But he's going to be very deliberate, very thorough, and in the end, he's going to do what's best for John Tavares.
I totally agree, John.
And that, you know, and that's just it. People are, you know, it's like beyond our control as fans. So I just wish people would just stop talking about it personally. Let me ask. Let's kind of change gears a little bit from the whole free agency thing and the trade deadline and all that stuff. Looking at the NHL standings and where we're at with 20 games to go, I mean, what are your thoughts about both conferences and what do you think is going to be the fallout by the time April comes as far as who's actually going to be in and who's going to, you know, not be in?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. I mean, look at the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay, Washington, Toronto, Boston, those teams are probably close to locked. I think Pittsburgh will do what they have to do. You know, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, those teams are in. I'm not so confident that Philly will hang on to their spot and New Jersey will hang on to their spot. And that may open things up for teams like the Islanders or Carolina or even Florida. You got to remember, the Panthers right now have four games in hand on the Islanders, and they're only 3 points back. So it's going to be a heck of a race down the stretch. And, you know, the Islanders have 19 games left. They're going to have to probably win about 14 of those 19 games if they really want to have a good shot at getting that last spot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how Florida's been coming out of nowhere. To me, I like the way things are situating in the West for Nashville. That's where I really thought Rick Nash was going to go. I mean, for a kid with a last name of Nash playing on Nashville, that would have been perfect. I mean, but I really, my heart of hearts is saying that David Poyle's going to have something come out of his sleeve, because to me this seems like it's going to be probably one of the last opportunities that they're going to have to try to go for a winner. But, you know, could you in your right mind feel that on February 25th that you're still saying that the Vegas Golden freaking Knights are number one in the Western Conference?
Geez. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it's exciting, and I think it's good for hockey. It's good for hockey in Vegas, and it's good for hockey overall. Whether they make a playoff run or even win the playoff series, I can't really say. That's a whole different level, especially in the National Hockey League. But it's fun to watch this team play. They are so well coached, and they play such a disciplined game. I enjoy watching that team. Winnipeg is for real. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And then you start to sort out those last few spots. I still think St. Louis has a run in them in spite of all the injuries. L.A. may have a run in them. I think Anaheim's going to falter. I think the Ducks
are
going to
miss the playoffs. Like Dallas.
Yeah, I like Dallas, too.
I like Dallas also.
Yeah, I'm kind of partial on that with my family in Texas. But, yeah, but I really think I like the way that Klingberg has really taken his game to another level this year. And they've always seemed to have troubles in the defensive zone at this time of the year. And, you know, Bishop with the experience he's had in going to the finals and stuff, I think that's the link they've needed, because the letting in the Emmy experience was something that Texas people are still reeling themselves over. But
no question.
Yes. And go ahead.
Still shocking to see Chicago's and Edmonton so far out of playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have thought? I mean, Chicago especially. Who would have thought? I mean, they've been on. Have they even won a game? Well, they've won maybe one in the last 11 or something.
Crawford's
like that.
Been a big, you know, a big hole that they just haven't been able to properly fill.
Yeah.
Taze's game, I won't say it's gone down, but it's not at the same at a good level.
He's having an off season, from what I've read. And
it's very hard to swallow. I mean, you know, Chicago people are just not used to it. But you know, hey, it's a cyclical game. So let's change a little gears. Have you picked up UNS Espidus golf clubs yet?
Have I picked up what?
UNS Espidus golf clubs, now that he's no longer playing?
Yeah, he's not playing. So and I also have my yoga mat. I'm ready. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for some goat yoga or whatever. You know.
Down with dog.
Down with dog. If it can make him swing a bat better and get a couple more home runs in him, I'm more for it.
There you go. Hey, if he plays more than 100 games, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I mean, come
exactly.
On.
But again, the comments that Zach Wheeler made recently regarding the Mets signing Jason Vargas to a contract, you know. I mean, you know, dude, you know, you've barely pitched in 2 years, and you're moaning about somebody else coming on the team that's healthy. You know, borrowing a line used from Laura Ingram and just changing the words. How about just shut up and pitch?
Right.
You know what? I think it is great for the New York Mets to have signed an extra quality starting pitcher, and let Wheeler be mad, and let him fight for his spot, and let him be challenged. Because you know what? Nobody is guaranteed anything in this game. You've got to earn it. And the most important ability in sports is availability. And Lord knows the Mets haven't had a lot of that in the last 2 years.
Yeah, no kidding. And also, I think, you know, you say, you know, availability is an important thing. But isn't it another important thing? Being on time for a game.
Oh, boy.
No comment on that. You know, I mean.
No comment.
The guy
no.
looks great. He's lost 30 pounds. He looks better. You know, he doesn't look like you know, a factory worker, you know, with a Met jersey on. You know, he actually looks like a ball player now, but you know, dude, show up on time. You know.
I know.
But okay, now the other big question. How many home runs are the Yankees going to hit this year?
How many home runs what?
Are the Yankees going to hit?
Oh boy. It's going to be if they don't lead the league, I will be surprised. When you combine what's in that lineup with that home run hitter friendly stadium. I mean, I think you gotta look. I give a lot of credit to the management of the Yankees. Not only did they rebuild quickly, but they built a team that is tailor made for their home ballpark. And if they keep their starting pitching at least consistently average, they should run away with a lot of, you know, 100 wins this year.
Right.
Easily 100 wins this season. Do you think there's any team in the American League that, that will challenge them? I mean, the moves that Boston, the Red Sox have made, their arch enemies, you know, do you think anybody is kind of is going to have a chance of you know, of matching them?
Yeah, I mean, I still like Houston, and I think Boston has a good chance. And, yeah, I you know, the amazing thing about baseball in this day and age is you look on paper, this team is going to be dominant, and they've got this talent, and then injuries strike or slumps hit at the wrong time. And you realize even if the Yankees win 105 games and are, you know, 8 games ahead of the next best team in the American League, in a 5-game playoff series or a 7-game playoff series, that could be gone in, you know, a week's time.
Right.
So, you know, all you need is good pitching at the right time in the playoffs, and you can go far, you know, despite winning 90 games as opposed to 105.
Right, look at the Strohs. I mean, you know, they did it with the pitching. They got some timely hitting for sure. But.
And they've got a good, good, solid young team. I mean, they're a team, obviously, that's going to be, you know, wrecking with for a long, long time to come. And it's a great story knowing that, you know, they had, what, 100 losses 3 straight years?
Yeah.
You know, before they made their run. You know, and it's great to see parity. It's great to see different teams win. I'm always on that route. If I'd rather see a team that hasn't won a World Series win over a team like the Yankees or the Cardinals or the Dodgers or anything like that.
You don't want to see the same teams winning all the time, although Dodger fans will remind you it's been a
Oops.
What was it? Kirk Gibson was still playing the last time.
Oh yeah.
So
right. All right. So let's just put the crystal ball on. We'll put the odds makers on. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Odds makers. All right. So odds that JT is an Islander come July 1.
70-30.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Personally.
That's pretty much where I'm going to be. Okay. But, all right. So, odds the Isles make the playoffs?
40% odds that they make the playoffs this year.
40%.
Ooh,
okay.
Okay. I was going to go 50-50, but.
Odds that. Here's an interesting one. Odds that the Rangers don't go to try to build with youth and go full to the salary cap again.
I'll say 45%. They always seem to go into that mode, don't they?
But yeah, so I really think that I would be surprised. I really would be surprised if at least 2 or 3 names on that roster are not there in 24 hours from now. You believe that?
Yeah. Oh, one other thing, Gary, got to mention this. You know, the Rangers did retire.
Yeah, we actually talked about that in the previous segment. I mean, to me, as I mentioned, he's a class guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a shame, you know, one of those players, you know, probably one of the greatest players that have never won a cup.
Yep.
And, you know, he was one of my heroes, basically, in 1969 when I went to my first professional hockey game. So, you know, I always had a great deal of respect. I think the honor was probably, what do you say, 20, 25 years overdue?
It should have been done in 1988, not 2018. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't thought of any big Rangers that wore number 19. Do you? I mean, I really honestly don't think a lot of players did wear that jersey number, but definitely nobody even close to fitting the shoes.
Yeah, nobody that came close to matching Rattel, no. No,
I mean, that was an absolute brilliant line. You know, Roger LeBaire and Vic Hatfield, I mean, Hatfield had his one glory year with the 50, but, you know, they were that close a couple of times to winning the Cup, but the Boston Bruins said no, and obviously Boston is trying to, get there. They, you know, they made the big deal, and Nash made his debut, and Buffalo beat him 4-1.
Yeah, but I tell you, Rattel is deserving Hall of Fame, having his number retired. And they announced that Vic Hatfield will be honored next season. And I think while he doesn't, you know, he's not quite as deserving as his line mate, I think it's fitting that he's going to get his number retired as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Levin is retired already, so it doesn't matter. You can always obviously add him. But, you know, I still think after all this, you know, with all these retiring numbers and bit, I like the way Toronto does it where they honor them as opposed to retiring them, so letting the number be used. Because I think, you know, in the next 20 years, you know, the lowest Yankee number might be 50.
Oh, come on. They'll have 2.5 will be available.
I do have an odds question for you. We were on the subject of odds before. The change gears, but it just kind of popped in my mind. What are the odds of the Mets pitching staff staying healthy through the season?
Not very good. I hate to say that as a Mets fan and as someone who's followed this team since 1972, but I tell you, if past performance is any indicator of future, then it's not very strong.
Well, let's rephrase. Do you think? All right, let's change the gear. How many of the Mets pitchers will pitch greater than 162 innings?
Four.
You think four? That's a reason.
Four out of six. Yes.
Four out of six. That's true. You got to put Vargas in the equation. 4 out of 6. Okay.
Correct.
Well, that definitely makes some sense. All right, Brad. Well, listen, we're gonna take a break and head off here. But we thank you for coming on. We know we can always catch you at Seals Hockey and on the Hockey Writers. Correct?
Yes, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Brad. Take care. Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. That's Brad Kurtzberg. We're gonna take a quick quick break, and when we come back, Peter Schwartz from CBS Radio is gonna come in for a little bit. And then come off the air and come back to finish the last half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Gary Harding and John Panarese with you for one more segment, WGBB 1240. We're back.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And back for the last half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Gary and John with you here. Just looking real quick, there's been some talk about major rumors going that Erik Karlsson is definitely going to be gone tomorrow. There's been play by the San Jose Sharks, which is an interesting deal. Can you imagine Brett Burns and Erik Karlsson on the same awesome D pair? That would be an awesome pair. You know, that's going for it. And Doug Wilson has always been talked about as trying to make some kind of a crazy move like that. And that would be interesting. They also say Tampa Bay, which is
which that doesn't make as much sense.
I like, you say, McDonough possibly.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay.
That would make more sense.
That would be a nice rental move, and I that would solidify a little more on the back end. But then, you know, obviously we look at Hockey Buzz, and you take Hockey Buzz with a grain of salt, on especially in with some of the things they talk about. But they've got Erik Karlsson listed with the Rangers. And, of course, that just, you know, goes against everything that they're saying. You know, we're going to go with youth. We're going to go, you know, with an influx of this and that and go get Erik Karlsson.
Doesn't make
sense.
They don't
have anything to give up for him.
Right.
And Ottawa's asking price for Karlsson is crazy. Supposedly, the asking price for Max Pacioretty for the Montreal Canadiens, they're asking for the sun, moon, and the sky for him. And, you know, that's
that. It's not worth it.
And, again, those are the types of things that I'm sure Garth has dealt with. And we talked about that before, you know, in the previous segments. And the issue with Garth, to me, is he doesn't want to get fleeced.
No.
That's come out the whole way. Yeah, sure, you want to get this player? Yeah, but you're going to give me this guy. I'm sure if there's been a phone call to Gatta with Senators or any other team about any of their big players, the first person you're going to say is Matt Barzal. And he's probably going to go, ha ha,
yeah, okay,
I'll see you later.
Luck. Yeah.
You know, exactly. They're not gonna deal somebody like him.
Maple Leafs are already saying that Matthew Barzal is going to be a Maple Leaf when his first contract is up anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
You know, well, remember, Seattle's going for an NHL franchise, but, you know, he could go back to his junior city or back home to Vancouver. But, you know, again, nobody's going to say that. And obviously, you know, his play has gotten to the point where no longer is he not only the top rookie in the NHL, but he's also leading the team
in points.
With 66 points. So obviously the rookie of the year situation, I think, is now starting to lean a little bit more towards him as opposed to Brock Besser, who's had a very good season. You know, he's playing on a top line pretty much himself and doing a lot of the work himself, because obviously in Vancouver the Sedins are starting to fade.
Yeah,
he's got nobody else, and he's doing a lot of the work himself. And that's a organization that's reeling badly. And I don't know what's going to happen with them. They're going to need a major overhaul. And my good friend Trevor Linden, I think, is not going to be much longer for that organization the way things are working out for him. So it's interesting that the Canadiens, the Senators, the Oilers, the Canucks are all major struggling this year. I mean, you know, obviously Toronto's having a decent year. Calgary's doing well, you know, but it's not, it's not looking good for those teams north of the 49th parallel.
Nope.
So we got our guest, and I know he's on a tight deadline. So, you know, we'll get into him real quick. We'll get what he's got to say and let him go back to his updates he does for CBS News Radio 880, Peter Schwartz. Peter, it's Gary and John in the new studios in Merrick. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, well, much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, so we'll get, you know, Peter's a big Islander fan, as everybody knows. You know, I sat next to him in Section 329 for years at the Collie, and he's always got a lot of opinions on the team. We've been talking about, obviously, the trade deadline, the struggles the Islanders were making, the efforts of JT. Looks like he's been struggling. Just give us a quick synopsis of your thoughts as we are about 17 hours away from the trade deadline.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if the Islanders are able to pull anything off in addition to what they did with Edmonton yesterday. I certainly think they have to try and make some kind of move to strengthen things up. Obviously, they're in a little bit of a malaise right now, and they're still right there in the middle of this playoff race, you know, within a couple of points, but they've dropped too many points, especially when they lead after two periods. So you would like to think that they'll be able to try to do something tomorrow to kind of shake things up a little bit.
What kind of thing? I mean, are you hearing anything out there, any kind of rumors that might have some credibility? Because we've been talking throughout the show of some of the more mundane rumors to the war, how should we say, outlandish?
Yeah, you know, I think that if you look at Garth Snow's history, generally there's not a lot of outlandish deals that are made, and you know, I'm not really sure what they're going to be in on, but obviously this current group, it's a little bit of an infusion of energy. So whether they make a minor move or two tomorrow, or they find a match with somebody to make They have those two first-round draft picks that they can dangle. Obviously, they got the one in the Travis Hamonic trade, so they've got some pieces to move. But we'll see what they do tomorrow. You know, they don't tend to make big splashes at the trading deadline, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. I certainly think they could use a little bit of a change.
Indeed. I mean, I asked this question to Mark Parrish, and I'll bring it up to you as well. Looking at the last couple of games, you know, we know what John Tavares has said all along, obviously, about, you know, not wanting to talk about the, you know, a potential deal or whatever till the season ends, when he can sit down with Scott and John and go over everything. But is it just me, or have you noticed the last couple of games that he's really seems like he's got not only the world on his shoulders, but everything on his shoulders, and he's really trying to do too much?
It certainly looks that way, you know, and I kind of created a little bit of a firestorm on Twitter earlier today when I kind of said, look, you know, it's clear that he's in a little bit of a rut here, and it's clear that he's not on top of his game. And I think he would do himself, I think he would do the franchise a tremendous service by just, you know, if he really wants to stay, and it's everything that he has said about this is that he loves Long Island, wants to be here, that's his intent. Well, then put your name on a contract and sign it, and let's get this, you know, cloud over the franchise and forward. And with every day that passes by that doesn't have his name on a contract, well, even the most optimistic of people have to start thinking, well, maybe he doesn't want to, you know, come back. And if that's the case, then I think he owes it to himself and he owes it to the franchise to say to Garth Snow and to John Ledecky tomorrow, hey, look, I don't think I'm going to sign with you after the season, so maybe it's best to break the cord now. And I think that would be best for everybody involved, because it would be an utter disaster if the Islanders know he doesn't want to play for them next year and they don't trade him and get something for him tomorrow. It's an utter disaster. Look, it's a bad nightmare for them any way he winds up leaving the team. But if he truly wants to stay, then let's stop all the nonsense and let's stop all the rhetoric and put him on a contract before 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the what we were talking about, saying about it, the crazy rumors, and it was something, a tweet put out by Mike Commodore, a former NHL player. He's put out a whole bunch of things, but one of the things he put out was a major deal between the Islanders and Blues, both involving players with numbers greater than 90, which would mean obviously Tarasenko for Tavares. Obviously, both players are in similar situations at this point. It sounded weird in the beginning, but you know, just by the comments you made on Twitter, it just makes you wonder.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, you know, I don't think you can discount anything. Look, I don't want to see the Islanders trade John Tavares.
No, neither do I.
They drafted him first overall. He's their guy. He's their captain. I think it'd be best for everybody if he stays. But, you know, listen, he's unsigned. He can go anywhere on July 1st. And, you know, he's earned the right to make a decision. He had every right in the world to say, I'm going to stay with the Islanders and sign an extension, or I'm going to go to July 1st and go out there and get the best offer, whether he wants to go into Toronto, whether he wants to go to play with Stamkos in Tampa. Whatever he wants to do, he has the right to do. But I think in this situation, with everything that he said about how much the Islanders mean to him, likes living on Long Island. And look, they've done a lot of things that everyone speculated would help him make his decision. They have their home rink situation locked up short term and long term. They know what's going to happen there. They put money in the practice facility. They went out and got a defenseman yesterday because they needed some help on defense. They're right in the middle of the playoff race. They've been beset by injuries all season long. I mean,
if he really wants
to play, then sign.
Right, and actually add into that fact that his line mate and his good friend Josh Bailey basically took a huge discount and signed a 6-year deal worth $5 million, because you know if he would have went through the free agent market, you probably would have got $7.5 million a year.
There's no question. I mean, the Islanders have they done everything right? No, but I think they've done enough. John Ledecky and Scott Malkin had a lot on their to-do. They took over the ownership of the team. They had to get the arena situation settled. They did that. They've got one of their all-stars locked up. And I hate to badmouth John Tavares because he spent so much to this team, but if he really, truly is the captain that everybody wants him to be, at how much he cares about this team, if he would just say, okay, I'm signing, I'm staying. Because otherwise the Islanders are going to be in a very, very precarious situation. If they don't have him sign the contract extension, they wind up losing for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, listen, Peter, we'll let you go because I know you got your update to do in a couple of minutes. But we thank you for coming in real quick on our inaugural shot at our new studios here, and we'll catch you along the way.
You got it. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Oh, man. You know what? You know, that just gives you a completely different perspective.
Now I'm concerned.
Now, yeah, you've got to be concerned.
I'm concerned now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, JT, as we've said, and as we talked about earlier in the last hour, you know, he's always been a guy that's been shown to be very forthright, very honest, very loyal, very true to his words. And, you know, yeah, I understand why he... You know, he saw what happened to his good friend Steven Stamkos and going through, you know, all of that. And he didn't want to have the same problems, and he figured he'd wait. But you know what? So many things are starting to turn in a way that would be favorable. You know, why doesn't he just say, look, you know, he doesn't have to even say it publicly. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he doesn't have to say it publicly. Maybe he goes to John Ledecky at 2 o'clock on Thursday and say, look, you don't have to say anything now. We can talk about it later. You know, we'll keep everything to where it is. But you know what? I want to stay here. You know, we'll do what we have to do, but do what you got to do. Do what the team's got to do to make things even better, make us the playoff run. And I will sign your contract.
Right.
You know, maybe it's to the fact that, and that could be the case that they may be doing it without the public knowledge, without the media knowledge, so that, you know, hopefully something gets done, and you know, and that may be evident or prevalent once the deadline has come and passed and the deals have been made and the signings are done. You know, it's I feel a lot more bad for him 2 hours, you know, than two hours ago.
Yeah.
It's
just got to be tough.
As you said, and again, bringing all back to what Mark was saying, you know, on the day of a deadline, you know, obviously, you know, you've got a lot of emotions going on, and depending on whether you have a family or whatever, and, you know, you've got to up and root yourself. I'm sure, you know, whether a player has a contract, whether a player's on the last year of a contract or whatever, you know, whether you think you're in good standing or you think you're comfortable or not, this has got to be this got to be a night where melatonin and you know, sleeping pills or Xanax are really going to work for a lot of guys. Yeah, there you go. Well, Matt Barzal doesn't have to worry about that, one, because he's not going anywhere. Number two, he's under 21.
Yeah,
so,
true, yeah.
You know, forget about that idea. But yeah, but anybody else, you know, this is tough, you know, because you're right. You don't know whether you're being uprooted and, you know, whether you're moving from a, you know, whether it's from good to bad or bad to good, you know. I mean, you know, you think of a guy like Ryan Spooner who's playing well for a Boston Bruins team that didn't lose for like how many games. You know, and you got to be sitting there thinking, you know, I'm on a great team.
Yeah,
we got a great, we're on a great run. You're going to make the playoffs. We got a shot to win the Eastern Conference, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, boom, you're a New York Ranger. And 5 hours later, you're at Madison Square Garden. Man, that's, I hate, you know, no disrespect to, you know, where he's going or whatever. He's a professional hockey player. But, man, that's got to suck.
Yeah,
you know, that's a tough thing, you know, except when you're like, on a team like Arizona,
yeah.
You know, and you got, let's see if it's in the potential, say, of an Oliver Ekman Larson or an Ari Raanta or a Max Domi's been even put up in talk saying, you know, gee, you know,
well, look
you
at
know, maybe I won't be sleeping because, man, I could be playing with Steven Stamkos, or I could be playing with PK Subban and the potential
of
Mike.
Look at the guy from the Senators, Broussard.
Yeah.
Now he's on Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but Stan Fischler made a comment about that, saying that he thinks that Jim Rutherford is a complete freaking genius because he went and got Broussard. Broussard, I think, is a big piece to that puzzle.
That could put them over the top.
Yeah,
realistically.
And they dealt Ryan Reeves, who they got right before the, you know, right after the trade, you know, the July 1st last year, in order to build some strength for the Pittsburgh Steelers, build some toughness, and he's done well for them. But they didn't, because of the deal, they made a three-way deal, and they sent him to the Vegas Golden Knights, who I find out his coach or his GM in juniors is the assistant GM, Kelly McCrimmon, in Vegas. So Vegas has got a legitimate tough guy to say, help them for their playoff run.
Right.
And again,
especially in the West.
Yeah, you know, the West
is a little tougher, in my opinion.
It is much tougher. So, you know, something like that is going to be tough on Vegas, and they needed some, you know, they have a very solid team, as you said, a great coaching staff, a great mix of players that's worked out tremendously well, but they don't have a big physical side. So this is something that's, you know, obviously you're not going to need a fighter, but Reeves not only can pugilistically play his role, but he can score some goals. He's a good net presence in front. He's got, I mean, obviously his size is tremendous, and you know, we haven't even talked about the Islanders' acquisition of Davison from the Edmonton Oilers, another move with Peter Chiarelli. I don't know what it is that he keeps wanting to make deals with our team. What is it? I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Him and Snow, maybe they golf together in the offseason. I don't know.
He must owe him, like, some serious...
something. I don't know.
Maybe
a poker game or something.
Exactly. Brandon Davison, again, 6'1", 6'1", about 214 pounds. Has only like a $1.4 million salary, so it's great. You know, this kid has gone through a tough time, had testicular cancer 4 or 5 years ago, obviously survived that, has gone back and forth between the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers, and obviously a member of the Islanders. Again, the scouting report on him, a good shot blocker, a good solid defensive defenseman. He's not going to get you a lot of points, but he's going to be solid in his own end. Maybe it's somebody to replace, you know, obviously to fill the hole that, say, a Calvin DeHaan did. And, you know, I said it all along when he got hurt in November. I said this injury is going to be more of a blow to the Islanders' defense than anything else.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that sometimes Mr. Harding pulls out a smart answer. But, obviously, he'll be in uniform on Wednesday when the Islanders have the last game of their road trip on Wednesday. They're doing a home-and-home with the Montreal Canadiens Wednesday night at the Bell Center in Montreal, and then Friday night in Brooklyn before they head on another big road trip.
Yeah, 2 weeks, right?
Week and a half. Saturday, they are in Pittsburgh, and then they go to Vancouver, then Calgary, then Edmonton. They finally got it smart. For years and years, but every time the Islanders did that Western road trip, they would go either Edmonton or Calgary, then Vancouver, and then back to Alberta. Who's the genius that come up with the travel situation with that? They finally got it right this time. They're playing in Vancouver on Monday. I don't remember the exact order of the schedule, but I believe, you know, they go to, I think it's Edmonton and Calgary. So Davidson, a week after he's traded to the Islanders, comes back in his Islander uniform back to the Edmonton Oilers, where rumor is he's going to be wearing number 88, the first Islander to ever wear number 88, mind you. I know he wore number 3 in previous years or whatever, but I don't think they're going to give away Travis Hamonic's number just yet.
No.
But the Islanders will get to see Travis Hamonic again next week on the road trip. And again, you know, what Peter said before and what Brad said, you know, they got 19 games left. You know, I think at this point, you've got to go, you know, out of a 38 points, they're going to have to get at least 28, 29.
Yeah.
You know,
easily.
They're going to need that. The way Florida's playing right now, they're playing lights out, 1-9 of 10, and they have a ton of home games coming. And they just got Roberto Luongo back. I know he gave up 5 goals his first game back, but they said he probably should have gave up 10 or 11 the way he was playing, standing up on his head. So you have a presence of Roberto Luongo back and a good group of young kids, hungry. that's another team that's going to scare you. You know, I mean, obviously, the gap between third and fourth in another division, you know, they're like, I think Florida's like 15 points behind Toronto. It's that far of a gap between those teams. But, you know, the way the Panthers are playing, there's no doubt in my mind they've got a good shot for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be right down to the end. Just like Brad said, it's going to be right down to the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question about it. There's a half a dozen, seven teams playing for essentially three or four spots. You get the three or four that he said before, the Bostons, the Tampas, the Washingtons, they're a lock.
Right.
Pittsburgh's probably a lock, so that's four. You know, those four spots, well, you got 10 teams that, you know, maybe seven teams that got a real legitimate shot. You know, you basically pull Buffalo out, you pull the Rangers out, and then other than that, anybody else has got an opportunity. It's just a matter of...
And I just think the Islanders, my opinion, my personal humble opinion, is Gart Snow has to make another move, I think, for me to feel that this team has got a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, and not even just making the playoffs, because I don't think making the playoffs is enough.
No.
They got to make a statement at this point.
And you know what? Right. You know, he got that extra draft, that first-round pick from the Travis deal. So he's got two firsts in his hands. You know, his plus Calgary spot, which you figure, all things being equal, probably still between the 15 and 20 area. The draft is not as deep as it's been in the last couple of years, but still, you're getting a first-round pick. You're getting a quality athlete that'll probably, in most cases, make your team in 2 years' time, at least.
Right.
So you dangle that. You know, you've got players that obviously, you know, you and I sitting, if we sat in the general manager's position, you've got a couple of guys that you could probably go.
Right.
All right. I like Brock Nelson. Nice kid. Can at times be very an incredibly streaky guy, but you could see he's the type of kid who could, in the right circumstance, be a 30-goal scorer in the NHL.
Right.
He's got the size. He's got the stature. He's got the ability. You know, can you dangle him? Can you dangle a first-round pick? Here's another person we haven't talked about in the last couple of weeks. Could you dangle Josh Hosang in there?
Right.
Again, potential galore. You know, can you put those together, put a first, maybe a second next year, put something together, and get that marquee name?
Right, exactly.
You know, so many people moan and groan about the fact that they think that Gar Snow is just sitting at a vending machine wondering to buy the next bag of potato chips or whatever and not, you know, doing the homework and doing the things. We know, you know, and I know that he's doing it. But the point is, you know, we know in the past he's always looked out at the quality name and trying to find the right thing and not to get fleeced. But you know what? I hate to say it. I like the guy, but his job is definitely more than ever in his 11-plus years at the helm is on the line now. I mean, ownership has given him the green light and are very much behind him. But you know what? He needs to make the statement. And if I'm him, you know, I have to, like, take the conservatism off the table and make something up. Make something to make this team improve. Because the way this team is made up right now on February 25th, 2018, I got to say it, they're not going to make it.
No.
They are not. Unless they pull a major rabbit out of their hat, they're not going to make this playoff run. So they need to do something. And I think it's time, Garth, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you are, this is your friend Gary talking. We've been friends for a long time. You've been on our show. You've been a great supporter of me through the Booster Club and through WGBB with me. I tell you, I implore you as a friend, you need to take your guard down and take a chance. Take a good chance. This team needs an improvement. This team needs a shake-up. At times when you've done that, when you've shaken the trees, it's worked. You shook the coaching staff last year, it improved. You know, you make these little deals, it improves. You get guys like a Davidson who I think will fit well and will succeed. Those are things are good. But you need to just go that one step
further. Yeah, we just need
further.
Another ingredient.
You need some, exactly.
Like,
Exactly. Just remember 38 years ago when you traded the first pick the Islanders ever made, and you traded a solid defenseman to pick up a guy that wore the funkiest helmet and had very little hair on the top of his head. Okay? Bill Torrey became the architect, really the architect, when that deal was made. And we all know what happened to that little hockey team in Uniondale when that deal got made. That's the kind of a deal Gar Snow has to make in the next 17 hours. And I know you can do it. So as John and I sit here in our Merrick Studios at 2 minutes to nine, at 2 minutes to 10 on Sunday night, we're going to close the show and say, Garth, I've got faith in you. The dice is in your hands. I've already put my chips down for you to roll that seven. Using a Las Vegas reference, not the Golden Knights, but I'm using a Las Vegas reference.
Yeah.
Okay? We've got the chips on seven. You've got the dice in your hands. Shake them up.
Let's go.
And let's get that seven. And make the fans happy. And especially tick off the people. If you make the right move and they do the right things and we move forward, that billboard, that we can go down and stomp on that billboard on Flatbush Avenue.
I'll light the match.
You'll light the match?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll bring the lighter fluid for you. So, John, great show. I love doing 2 hours.
So do I. It goes fast, too.
We thank Mark Parrish, of course, from MSG, former New York Islander. Great job by him. Can't wait to meet him when I go see one of our games in the next couple of weeks. We thank Brad Kurtzberg from the Hockey Writers, and we also thank Peter Schwartz from WCBS 880 News Radio for coming on and talking. Of course, we thank Brian Graves on the other side of the glass.
We made it through the first night.
Thank God. You know, we'll make sure next week the does say Merrick, New York. But we thank him, and we thank the folks at WGBB for moving us to a very nice new home.
Nice.
And, again, now hopefully it'll take me less than an hour and a half to get home now that we have to drive that extra time instead of going to West Babylon now for coming here. But we're glad to be here. Next month when we're back, we'll definitely take some calls, and hopefully we're having some good things to say about the Mets and the Islanders and stuff going on around New York sports. Again, this is Gary Harding and John Panarese for Sports Talk 1240. In the words of my late friend Bill Hayes, a true great Islander fan, keep skating, everybody, and good night from Sports Talk 1240.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.